Mood Gym with Don Brown, and we're into episode 14, talking today about an emergency mood cast, emergency mood gym podcast, fear and anxiety. Well, this is Saturday, March 14, 2020, and the big news this week, or actually starting yesterday, in the United States at least, was the president's declaring a national emergency because of the coronavirus episodes going on around the world and in the United States. And the whole idea from his recent press conference was to start using private companies to provide testing, because we've been apparently lacking in testing for some time, way behind most other countries that are experiencing this. So he's got together with a couple large biomedical companies to do the testing, got together with Walmart, Target, CVS, Walgreens to partner with the government to provide places to do the testing. And so everybody has been out shopping for their water and their supplies, and obviously lots of anxiety and worries going all around. I've been watching this for a month or so, just to see what people's reaction is, what government's reaction is, what state government's, federal government's reactions is, and compiled some numbers that anyone can get these numbers from the Center for System Science and Hearing at Johns Hopkins Hospital, if you just Google that. And you may already be aware of it, but they put together statistics from all over the world and all the local governments and agencies to try to keep an updated map and calculation of the number of confirmed cases by country and region and sovereignty. And I've been watching that and compiling numbers on a little spreadsheet just to see what the odds are of getting this, how worried should we be, and what different countries are doing differently to change the numbers. So I just want to go over some of these numbers that some of you may be curious about. And if you'd like to obtain more information about what I think or what I may know or not know, or even obtain the spreadsheet that I've developed, just email me at donbrown@gmail.com. Glad to send it out to you. So anyway, let me just briefly go over this. Originally, I was trying to figure out what are the odds of being infected. And I'm in one of the prime categories of people who should have concern, because I'm in the 60-plus age. And they say that those folks in that age, especially if you already have underlying conditions, are more at risk, which would make sense. The older you get, the more at risk you are of illness. And the more underlying conditions you have, the more at risk. So that makes entirely sense. Then on the other hand, they point out that the young folks, kids, have less chance of showing symptoms, which makes sense too, because they've got a good immune system and they're healthier. So that makes sense too. But the big problem is, even though the kids can develop the virus, they might not show the symptoms, so they can pass it on to their parents and their grandparents. So that's one thing that's kind of concerning, is how do we make a decision to be around our children or grandchildren at this point, especially if you have an underlying medical problem. But anyway, that's something everybody has to decide for themselves. So let me just go over some of these numbers here. So originally I was trying to figure out what are the odds of getting this. So the main country, of course, was China that came upon this first. And there are about 1.3 billion people in China, and they indicated they had about 81,000 cases, and I'm rounding these numbers off, total. And so I figured the odds of getting the infection, if you're in China, for how many, where would there be one infection per how many people? So, for example, if you're in China, one out of about 16,000 people ended up with the infection, one out of 16,000. So that means you probably, on average, didn't know anybody that had it, because you'd have to know 16,000 people. I mean, know personally. You might know some person in the news or something. But just overall, on average, in China, if you were the average person, you'd have one chance in about 16,000 people of getting it, which is, you know, fairly low, because, like I say, you wouldn't even know anybody that had it. Okay, now, however, if you were in the Hubei province, which is in central China, where it really, really started, that's the literal spot where everybody started getting this, they have 59 million people in Hubei province. And every one of 870 people got it. So obviously that's different than overall China, where it was one in 16,000. Now it's one in 870 people. So still, you probably didn't know anybody personally that got it, unless you know 870 people, which is, you know, fairly unlikely for most people. So still, even though that's, you know, a low number, one out of 870 people, because about 68,000 people in that province ended up with it, which is a lot of numbers, a lot of people. But remember, there's 59 million people in that province. Okay, so then I says, okay, well, you know, if I were in China, especially outside of that province in central China, I probably wouldn't be too concerned, although I would have a lot of sympathy and compassion and empathy for the people who did end up with it. Okay, so then I started taking a look at the numbers from other places. So the first place, obviously, you want to take a look at is the United States. Okay, the United States has about 329 million people. And today, one out of about 128,000 people get the infection. Okay, now that can be misleading, and it probably is, because the difference between the United States and China is China tested a whole bunch of people. So they had a pretty good handle on, you know, what the rate really is of infection. The United States, especially, you know, until now, really hasn't really been testing. They did, I think last week it was like up to 10,000. The week before it was up to like 4,000. So, you know, it's a drop in the bucket how many people were tested in the United States. So as of today, as testing starts to get going, there's about 2,600 cases confirmed out of 329 million. So the numbers are still one in about 128,000. So I'm not real concerned personally, assuming that number is correct, but we know that it's really not. Okay, so then I tried to look at other countries and see what other countries might have for the odds of getting it if they were doing more testing. Okay, so you look at Iran. Now, you wouldn't normally, you would think Iran's a poor country or whatever. You wouldn't think they'd be doing much testing. Well, they're one of the countries besides China that has the most cases. And the reason they come up with the most cases is because they're doing a whole lot of testing. Okay, so Iran has 81 million people, and the odds of getting it, there's one in about 6,000 people that has it. Now, compared to what I said with the United States is one in 128,000. Iran is one in about 6,000. And they've got about 13,000 confirmed cases out of 81 million. Okay, so now we're seeing the difference in the numbers depending on how you test for the virus. Okay, and then similarly, look at Italy. Now, you've heard Italy in the news for weeks now. The reason is because they have 21,000 people with cases, confirmed cases, and they've got a population of 60,500,000, you know, 60.5 million. Okay, now the odds of, and we presume they've done a lot of testing in Italy, and that's how they come up with 21,000 people infected. Okay, now the odds are, with that formula, that you have a chance one in 6,000 people have it in I'm sorry, one in 3,000. One in 3,000 people in Italy have it. Okay, so compare that with Iran. It was one in 6,000. And compared to the United States, it's one in 128,000. So we're seeing now, if you do a lot of testing, those numbers come way down. So if you're in Italy, you might be a little worried because one out of about 3,000 people have it. But even there, you don't know 3,000 people, so you probably don't personally know anybody that has it. Now, you might know a friend of a friend of a friend who knows somebody, but you probably don't know anyone personally. So still, even if I were in Italy, I'd be a little scared because of all the news, but still, only one out of 3,000 people have it. Okay, now look at South Korea, and again, you would think, oh, they couldn't do all this testing. Well, South Korea is a fairly well-developed country because that's where you get your Kias and your cars and your TVs and all that stuff from. So they're pretty advanced, and your cell phones and their internet's twice as fast as ours, at least. So South Korea has 51,300,000 people, 51.3 million. Okay, they have 8,000 confirmed cases, and the odds there is one out of about 6,000 people have the infection. So again, they're doing a lot of testing. That's why they're in the low thousands. And once again, comparing South Korea's chances are one in 6,000. Italy's one in 3,000. Iran is one in 6,000. United States is one in 128,000. So you can see the big difference there. All right. So what I did in looking at different areas of the world, different countries, and even different states, it seems to me if the infection rate is about one in maybe 10,000, just picking a number, if a country finds your odds, depending on the population and the confirmed cases, if the odds are one in about 10,000, it probably indicates that country is doing a lot of testing or sufficient amount of testing. So that's why Iran's below 10,000, one in 10,000, Italy's way below, and South Korea's one below. And the other country you wouldn't have thought of is Switzerland. Switzerland has 8 million people, and they have about 1,400 cases right now. And you do the math on that, and one out of about 6,000 people have it in Switzerland. So you wouldn't even have thought of that, but that just indicates they're doing a lot of testing, so they're getting a good handle on just how many people out of 1,000 will get it, or in this case, one out of about 6,000. And again, you don't know 6,000 people, but it still would be scary if you were in Switzerland. All right, and then another one surprising is Denmark. Their number is one in about 5,000. And let me see, I think there was another one, Spain. Okay, Spain is one out of about 7,000. So there's the countries that I've done every country, but these are some of the prominent ones that have done enough testing that shows that the one out of 6,000, 8,000, 3,000 has the virus. And everybody else is way, way above it. Okay, let's take a now look at Ohio, which is where I grew up. Now, until about a week ago, they had none, and then they had one, and then they had five. Today, they've got 26. Okay, so when I first did the numbers on with one, they've got a population of 11.7 million. Okay, so when they had, you know, one case, that means one person out of, you know, 12 million people have it. So that was pretty low odds. So, but that also indicated Ohio was not doing testing because there has to be more than one person out of, you know, 11.7 million. So sure enough, as they start doing some testing, they're gradually finding more and more people. And today it's still very, very low. It's 26. So the odds or the number of people in Ohio, there's one in 450,000. So that's way high. You know, remember the United States as a whole is one in 128,000. So Ohio still is showing only one out of 450,000 people have it. Well, if that were true, you wouldn't worry at all, because I mean, it's unlikely you're going to get it if there's only one out of 450,000 people. You probably get hit by lightning with better odds than that. But anyway, but those numbers are not real because they haven't done enough testing. So each day you're going to see in Ohio, that number is going to come down farther and farther. You know, tomorrow or next week, it might be down to one in 300,000. The following week, it might be down to one in 200,000. Just depends on how many tests they can get done. Okay, now looking at Washington, that they've got a big problem in Washington because that's the place in the United States that has the most. Washington has 11.5 million people. 568 people are infected today, and you look at if you do the math, that means there's one out of about 20,000 people in Washington has the virus. And again, that's probably still a little incorrect, but it's still getting in that range that, you know, they're doing more testing than Ohio is, for example. Okay, now you look at Massachusetts. I don't know why I put that in there, but they got 6.9 million people and 123 cases, and their odds are 1 in 56,000. So again, that indicates they've not done enough testing to really get a handle on where they are. So what I'm pointing at is, how scared should you be? How anxious should you be? Well, the anxiety is because we don't know the answers. And that's just life sometimes. You don't know the answers no matter what. So, but at least you can know that in countries that are doing testing, so far the worst case scenario seems to be Italy, where one in about 3,000 people have it. And Spain, 1 in 7,000 people, Switzerland, 1 in 6,000 people, Denmark, 1 in 6,000, Norway, 1 in 6,000 people. So those countries have a fairly good handle. Then you can decide, how risky is it for me to, you know, go on living normally, whatever. And of course, the governments are trying to slow down the rate of infection by separating the people as much as possible. So the states are now doing that, banning big events, telling people to consolidate their trips to the store so they don't have to be out in public, not allowing people to visit nursing homes. People aren't allowed to now even visit prisons. So they're closing down a lot of things to eliminate the contact, person-to-person contact. So that's what you got to make a decision on. What are your odds of getting it? But the main consideration, I think, and the governments are getting to this too, is you want to consider your fellow man. You don't want to put them in jeopardy. So you know, you may decide, well, you know, if I'm in Massachusetts, one out of 56,000 people have it. Well, it doesn't seem risky to me, so I'm just going to, you know, go out and, you know, be cautious, but I'm not going to be overly concerned. But again, the main thing is you don't want to, if you have something, even if it's just regular flu, you don't want to give it to somebody else. So that's the main consideration. You want to not try to bring harm or distress to other people. So that's the consideration you want to think about. So anyway, I just wanted to go over that today and see if that makes any sense to anybody. And if you want more information, you have any questions, you want to be sent this, spreadsheet I've got with all the numbers, just email me donbrown.com, and Brown has an E on it, by the way. And thank everybody for listening to my Mood Gym podcast, and we'll hopefully get back to working on our moods and our anxiety and depression issues on the next podcast. So thanks again for listening, and we'll catch you next time.